Monday night, praise the Lord. And Brother Patterson, if you come and give us what God's laid on your heart. And appreciate again.
I do. If I don't keep it plugged in, it goes dead real quick anymore. It's getting old, amen. It's sort of like your pastor, getting old. What can I say, you know? Well, praise the Lord. It is good to be here tonight again. And I don't think I have preached this message here before that I can find, but you never know, Brother Dave, amen. Keep me straight, all right? You let me know. It ain't going to do any good anyway, so.
The first 10 years, I don't have to cover the debts at home.
Well, yeah, if I did, it hadn't been that long because it ain't that old of a message. Amen. Praise the Lord. It is good. It is good to be in the house of God tonight. Amen. We're going to begin over in the book of Luke tonight, chapter 17. Luke chapter 17. I do thank the Lord for this church. And I was praying for you all today and praying for Tony today and praying for Darlene today over there, you know, and I haven't seen him around, so I'm imagining he's probably at the hospital, I'm thinking, you know, with her. And I haven't seen his truck, and I haven't seen the garage door open. Usually, when I see his garage door open, I try to go over and spend a little time with him, talking to him every year when I'm here. And we've had some interesting conversations over the years, amen. And I remember one time he was over there, and I was over the fence, and he's in his garage walking in and out, we're talking, you know, and I'm sort of like that guy on Tool Time, you know, with sort of looking like over the fence, you know, just in the, well, I didn't have my hat on, though, so. But anyway, I'm talking to Tony over there, and a friend of his pulls in on a motorcycle, and he walks up to the, he's talking to Tony, and he walks over and starts talking to me, and he says, "Is that your trailer back there?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm preaching revival meetings over here at the church. I'm a traveling evangelist." He said, "Really?" He says, "Now, what's that mean?" So I told him I gave the gospel, you know. And see, the Bible tells you that if you don't get saved by the grace of God, you're going to hell. And and the guy was real quiet. He was listening to me. You know, it took a little while to get there. He was listening to me. And Tony all of a sudden walks up, and he says, "We're not worried about that. We're going to ride our motorcycle straight into hell, aren't we?" And he called the guy by name. And I'm thinking, you know, that's what he thinks. It ain't going to happen that way, amen. Let me tell you, boy. You might be riding that motorcycle and die and go to hell, amen. But not because you're riding a motorcycle, just because you die without Jesus Christ. And I used to ride a motorcycle all the time. I laid a Harley down one time, laid a Honda down another time, you had a few bikes over the years. You know, I owned a Harley with somebody else, so I didn't worry about laying it down. Amen. I laid it down in the grass, though, preacher, I tell you. So I wasn't on the gravel. Let me tell you, you know, I almost laid it out in the curb, you know, before I did that the next day. But yeah, I'm dangerous on bikes, so I don't have one anymore. I still have my endorsement. I just can't get rid of my endorsement. You know, I got to keep that endorsement from my motorcycle license, on my driver's license. And I don't know why, because I don't ride bikes anymore, because they scare me, because I don't do anything slow. It's going, man. I want it to go, you know. And I used to have a Honda that was a road bike, and I used to ride it out in the field, man, jumping hills with that thing, you know, and I wasn't very smart, amen. Well, here's the book of Luke chapter 17, verse 16. If you'd stand with me, I want to read a couple of verses with you. This is where the 10 lepers come to Jesus. 10 lepers come to him, and he heals them. All right, now we're going to pick up in verse 16, where he makes this statement. Act verse 15, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, "Were there not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger." And he said unto them, "Arise, go that way, thy faith hath made thee whole." He said the only one who came back was one out of 10 to glorify God. Father, thank you for your word tonight. Help us, Father, again to grab some things here that will help each one of us and your children, that you be glorified now in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You may be seated. As I begin thinking about this thought, I'd like to speak about tonight to you about five things that bring glory to God. Now, there's many in the Scriptures. There's more than five in the Word of God that you will find, but I want to focus in on five specific ones tonight for a few moments with you. You know, the Bible says over in the book of Romans chapter 4 and verse 20, he staggered not, speaking about Abraham, he staggered not the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving what? Glory to God. He said in Luke chapter 2, verse 13, remember at the birth of Jesus Christ, the Bible says, and suddenly there was an angel with an angel, a multitude of heavenly hosts praising and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men, glorifying God. There's a time in our life where we need to glorify God. By the way, it ought to be every day that we are trying to do what we can do as the children of God to glorify God. Let's not wait until we talk to somebody about Jesus Christ to glorify God. We ought to be glorifying Him every day in our life as believers in Christ. We ought to be having something in our life showing Jesus Christ coming forth out of your life and out of my life. Let me show you just a couple of these. Philippians in chapter 2, verse 5. You can turn there. I'm going to begin reading verse 5 in just a second here. But confessing, number one, confessing Jesus Christ as Savior brings glory to God. Confessing Jesus Christ as Savior will bring glory to God. He says this, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God hath what? Highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above what? Every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, how? To the glory of God the Father. So, I believe as we're reading this text, reading this thought, confessing Jesus Christ as Savior, confessing Him as Savior, not being afraid to talk about Jesus to the lost world, not being afraid to talk about family members, not afraid to talk about long lost family members when you get a chance to meet them, amen. I thank the Lord I got some family members that have rejected me, Pastor, over the years, and that's fine. I don't mind, you know. I still love them. I don't go to their family reunions because most of them drink, you know, and I don't want to have some of them smoke pot. I don't want to be around that. Some of them take cocaine, and I just don't want to be around that. I didn't want my kids around that. I didn't want to be around that, so I just didn't go. So, you know, I became the black sheep, even though I was the one that was saved, amen. But it amazes me how many of them over time, a period of now 49 years, but in that time, you know, after about 15, 20 years, they started coming to me and talking to me about things of the Lord. I had the privilege of watching one of my stepsisters get saved in a revival meeting I was preaching in Ohio back in about 1984, 85, 86 maybe it might have been. That was a long time ago, amen. And so, had a privilege of her getting saved. Had a privilege of my other stepsister coming out to my mom's house when I was there. And she said, I'd like to talk to you for a little bit outside. It was cold out. It was snowing out. We went and sat in my van and I turned the key on and started up. Got it warmed up in there. And she sat down beside me in there. And she said, Mike, I need to know how I can go to heaven. Amen. Had a privilege of leading her to the Lord. I had a stepbrother by the name of Ronnie. That was a drug addict. And came to me at my mom's house one night. Him and his new wife came to me at my mom's house one night. And I sat out backyard with him about 10 o'clock at night. Mosquitoes, swatting mosquitoes all over the place. He looked like a dartboard when he come in the house after sitting in that backyard, you know, in the middle of July. Just hot and rainy and hot and rainy. And hot and rainy. Some mosquitoes all over the place. And he got saved sitting out in my mom's backyard. And that was about 10 o'clock at night. About 2:30 in the morning, they were leaving my mom's house. Him and his wife, Marilyn, leave my mom's house, and Marilyn said, "Boy, so I see something about Ronnie. What's going on?" I told her, "He got saved by the grace of God." She said, "What's that?" I said, "She got down on her knees in my mom's gravel driveway, bowed her head right there that night, and trusted Jesus Christ as a personal Savior." I got a cousin that lives in Dorset, Ohio right now that contacts me all the time. I got another one, my stepsister's niece, who got saved when her mother got saved. And then another one who, they came to a meeting as at in Ohio years ago, came in as I'm preaching the Word of God. And when I gave the invitation, her son got saved, amen, and which was my stepsister's grandson. and trusted Jesus Christ. I tell you, God, if you're just a witness for God and live the witness for God, He will use you even around your family. Amen. And somebody said, well, Mike, you're an evangelist. I was talking to them about Jesus Christ before I ever went into evangelism. My brother, when I first got out of prison, I went to visit my brother. I was only out about a week or two. In fact, he picked me up from prison and took me home with my... He had a whole carload full of kids, a little pedal, one of the little dinky stinking pimples. Remember that? I'm in the back like this, you know. Jenny's sitting next to me, two kids on the other side of her. He's up in front with two more kids and his wife, and he's driving. And I'm sitting there back like this. I said, you know, I think I'd like to get out and go to the bathroom. Boy, it felt good to take a breath for a minute, amen. Yeah, but just the next week, I was over at his house witnessing to him. And somebody gave me some material from Jack Van Impe, you know, and I didn't become a great Jack Van Impe fan pastor after some things happened, you know, but I'm not going to condemn him, praise the Lord. Thousands of people come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior, amen. But he did have some things on the rapture that I was reading, a pamphlet that I was reading. And my brother said, what are you reading? So I took it up to him. I started sharing that with him. I talked about the ending of the world, talking about the tribulation period, talking about what's going to happen. And he said, where are you getting that? I went down and got the brochure about it and started showing it to him. He started going to church with me. And about a month later, he got saved. Amen. At the church. And then the next week, his wife got saved. Amen. And since then, his children have been saved. You know, God's good, amen. I was the first one in my immediate family to trust Christ. You see, yeah, but that's what gave you the zeal. No, my friend, no. You ought to have the zeal for Christ because Jesus Christ is in you. And we need to be a witness for Him, amen. We need to tell people about Jesus and who He is and what He's doing. Look at Isaiah 45. Just go there with me real quick. Isaiah 45. I've only got, I think, 5 points tonight. We'll see. We'll see. You never know with me. Isaiah 45. Isaiah chapter 45. I want to read this two verses to you, beginning in verse 22, Acts 3 verses, verse 22 through 25. He said, I have sworn by myself, the word is gone out of my mouth, in righteousness, and shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow, every tongue shall swear. Now, Isaiah's not talking about himself, amen. That's a prophecy about God. That's a prophecy about Jesus Christ. He's saying, one day, every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall swear. It's confessing, surely shall one say, and watch, one say in the Lord, have I righteousness and strength. Even to him shall man come, and all that are incensed against him, what? Shall be ashamed. Those who have rejected Jesus Christ, those who have made fun of Jesus Christ, those who make coarse jokes about Jesus Christ, those who laugh at Jesus Christ, those who laughed at born-again believers, those who want nothing to do with you, one day their knee will bow. Can you imagine, preacher, in hell, they're in hell. In great white throne judgment, there's going to be a respite just for a minute. They're going to be lifted up to the great white throne. They're going to see God for who He is and what He is and know who Jesus Christ was. And at that moment, they're going to bow the knee before a holy God. But they're bowing their knee, it's too late to get them into heaven. Because then they're going to be cast off into the lake of fire, which is the second death, which burneth what? Forever and ever. Amen. Well, I tell you what, do you think we need to be a witness? Amen. You think our life ought to be a witness? Amen? I think so too. I'm in agreement with you. Romans 14 verse 11 says this, for it is written, as I live saith the Lord. I love it. As I live saith the Lord. This is what these, thus saith the Lord. Amen? As I live saith the Lord. Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess to God. Well, I tell you what, my friend. Confessing Jesus Christ as Savior brings glory to God. Glory to God. And the second thought I want to share with you tonight for a minute is this. Preaching the truth and not changing. Teaching the truth and not changing. Sharing the truth and not changing. Now there's some things, Pastor, in 49 years that I've changed my mind on, amen, but I have not changed my mind on doctrine, amen. Some things maybe I have had some personal preferences that I've changed my mind on. Some have gotten stronger. Some were not necessary. So I've changed my mind on those. But when it comes to doctrine, when it comes to purity of the Word of God, I'm not changing my mind. Sorry, I'm just not going to do it. I'm not going to compromise to get somebody to come into my meetings, preacher. I know you're not going to compromise just to get somebody into church, amen. If you did, this would be packed out in here tonight. I mean, I'm serious. If you began to compromise and began to leave the Bible and began to go to another translation, began to have some rock music in this building, it wouldn't doubt in my mind you'd have it packed out within about 6 months. It'd be packed out here, amen. I'm glad you don't compromise, amen. I'm glad you stick by the stuff. I'm glad you're strong. But we need to preach the truth and not change, and tell the truth and not change, and share the truth and not change, and teach the truth and not change. He says in 2 Corinthians, you can turn there if you want to, 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians in chapter 1. And over in 2 Corinthians in chapter 1, we'll read this. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. When I therefore was thus minded, did I use lightness? Otherwise, was he weak? No. Or the things that I purpose, do I purpose according to the flesh? No. I didn't preach hard because of the flesh. I didn't do that. No, he said that with me there should be yea, yea, and nay, nay. There should be an understanding. You should know. You should go yea, yea, and you should know nay, nay. You should know it, with me. He said there's not an in between there. I preach it so you'd understand it, know it. He said, but as God is true, our word toward you was not yea and nay. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, even by me and Silvanus and Timotheus, was not yea and nay, but in him was yea. In him, he didn't change. He said, I'm not changing. In him was yea. In verse 20 says this, for all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, watch, unto the glory of God by us. Not changing. The truth of the Word of God, not changing the truth of the things of the Word of God, but staying true to the Word of God. 2 Corinthians, that was chapter 1, verse 17 through 20. 2 Corinthians. Now, I think that I've seen churches change over the years. I've seen some good churches change. I'm not going to say they don't preach the gospel yet, Pastor. Amen. I've seen some good men change. I'm not going to say they don't preach the gospel yet. I know some men that aren't KJV pastors or preach the gospel. Doesn't mean they're right, amen, and some things they twisted. Doesn't mean they're right and some things they've taken away from the Word of God. But they do. I've heard them preach the gospel. So my thought is this, though. When you change and you move in that direction as a believer or as a pastor or as a teacher or as a preacher, it doesn't matter. When you change and go in a different direction like that, what's that saying to the people you've been teaching and preaching to all these years? That are still firm and still solid. Amen. I can see why some churches split. Amen. I can. When preachers have gone the wrong direction, Well, I was in a church a few years ago, my wife and I, down in Florida. I preached in that church a long time ago. Good, solid, independent, fundamental, KJV, Baptist church, strong, loved the Lord. The pastor became a good friend of mine. Preached for him after he moved out to Arizona. I was out there in Sunrise, Arizona, and held meetings with him out there a number of years back. And he loved the Lord, good man. But when he left that church in Florida and took that church out there, another man came to that church in Florida. In fact, he left that church because a pastor that helped him start that church said, you need to change. He said, I'm not going to do it. He said, we're mother in that church. You need to change. He said, I'm not going to do it. So they said, well, the people sort of voted them out, you know. It's a shame, amen. He started a church, his own congregation, votes them out. Was God wrong? No, amen. People were wrong. They were wrong, amen. So this new guy came in, and we get in there, boy, we notice immediately Sunday school, the guy that got up to teach Sunday school, you would like this, Brother Dave. I don't think he had anything from the Bible, you know. I mean, if God just gets up and reads a scripture, that'd be something, you know, at least something, you know. And this guy didn't even know what he was talking about. And my wife and I just sort of looked at each other and just shook our heads, you know. Cale was sitting next to us on the other side, and the morning worship service began. And the music started, and it was just a little bit more than I care for. Amen. But pretty soon it's going like this. In the congregation. I mean, almost dancing. I looked at my wife, and I said, she slipped out, Gail slipped out, and I went behind and we walked out the door, you know. And she said, what did you do to worship the Lord? That was too late to get anywhere else. We just went back to the trailer and had devotions, amen. What can I say? I mean, yeah, what I'm saying is churches change. It's about not to be. In that church, can I tell you something? When I preached there in that church, there were maybe 40 people. That day in that church, there were about 140 people. Why? Because they changed. And they're gravitating towards the flesh and not the Spirit of God. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17, wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. We need to be separate as Christians, amen. That's why we don't, that's why when I pastored, they wanted me one time when I was pastoring to come to the Easter sunrise service around the flagpole and give the message that morning at the Catholic Church with the Methodist and with the Church of Christ. And we had in our town, we had a musical Church of Christ, and we had a non-musical Church of Christ, and they wanted me to be involved. And we had a Free Methodist, and then we had a Methodist, United Methodist, and we had, but you know, and the Catholic. And I knocked on a Catholic priest's door one day, didn't realize it was a rectory, and he comes to the door, we had handing out Vacation Bible School flyers. He said, "I'll put it up on our bulletin board." Praise the Lord. Let me give you two. Amen. So, but to go into be in fellowship, I can't do it. I can't fellowship with that. Because and if I'm going to preach, guess what, brother? I'm going to have some enemies in that town before I'm done. Yeah. I didn't want enemies, amen. And I sure wasn't going to compromise if I preach. So I told him, I can't do it, man. I said, you all enjoy yourself. He said, why not? I said, because I don't get involved in ecumenical services. Just not going to do it. He said, okay, no problem. And he was a United Methodist, preacher. He went to Moody Bible Institute in Chicago, Illinois. Knew the word, knew the gospel, but boy, I tell you what, just lead that church in the wrong direction, you know. It's sad. We need to stay separate and come out from among them, he tells us in Scripture. And then another one I'm going to give you quickly is keeping unity in the family of God. Keeping unity in the family of God. So he says this, now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus, that ye may with one mind, I think we looked at this verse on Sunday morning at Sunday school, did we not? That we may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore we receive ye one another, as Christ also received what? Us to the glory of God. He wants us to bring glory to God in keeping unity in the family of God, doing everything we can. Everything we can possibly do to help keep unity in the church, in the very house of God. But, you know, sometimes, how many of you know some people who say they're Christians, but you don't really like them? You know what I'm talking about? Now, you have to love them, amen. The Bible says we need to love one another. I don't really like them sometimes, preacher, amen. But just because I don't like them doesn't mean give me a right, if I'm sitting in the congregation to see him over there, to go over and start screaming and yelling and chewing them out and saying, you stink, you wicked bum, you know. You're so ungodly, it's pathetic. You know, my son-in-law is working with a guy in his church. It's Sade was a vet from overseas. He's got this PSTD, whatever it is, PSST or PSDTS, or, and he's got something, amen. PSTD, I think it is, isn't it? Something like that. And anyway, he drinks. And then he'll quit. And he'll do fine for a while. Come to church one or two Sundays, then he's drinking again. He just went to the hospital the other day with pancreatitis. And the doctor said, you need to quit drinking. He said, because next time it might kill you. So he said, I guess that's a sign from the Lord, I need to quit. I said, I think the sign from the Lord is what we've been telling you, you need to quit. Amen. He just didn't listen, so this is the result, not listening. I talked to him on the phone this morning to encourage him to get back to the house of God. I don't cut him any slack, brother. Amen. I love him, but I don't come any slack. But I'm not going to let him. He's not going to come into church. I'm going to stand him over and say, you know, you stinking drunk, get out of here. But yeah, I see that happen in churches. Amen. But it's sad. We need to do what we can do to keep unity in the family of God. And then we need to also include him in all our decisions. Have you ever not included God in a decision? Let me read some scripture to you. Let me give you an illustration. Most of my illustrations are because I'm stupid. Amen. So they usually apply to me. So see if this will apply to you in a little bit. He said in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31 to 33, whether therefore ye eat or drink, whatsoever ye do, do all what? To the glory of God. All. So no matter what it is, eating or drinking or whatever, you do all to the glory of God. Give not offense neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God. Even as I please all men in all things, not seeking mine own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. Why should I do it to the glory of God? That man might get saved. That they might come to know Jesus Christ. Excuse me. Jesus Christ is their personal Savior. So we need to do everything we can to include them in all of our decisions. Preacher, remember, I think I had it here. One time I had a great big long red truck, a Dodge diesel. I mean, that thing had a big sleeper cab in the middle of it. I had that here back years ago, didn't I? And I don't know if you ever heard a whole story about that truck. But, my Chevy, my one-ton Chevy I have was falling apart on me. And you stop and the cab would shift. The crankshaft had a bad bearing, and the crankshaft would come forward, be far in there to throw a fan belt. Kept on popping off valve springs on the one side. You know, I found out what happened to that. Fixed that problem later. But it was going to cost me an arm and a leg. So I saw that truck in a magazine. In fact, that truck was advertised through our mission by a guy in Indiana, by another Christian man in Indiana. And I told my wife, I want to go look at it. I think I'd like to have that truck. She says, well, did you pray about it? I said, well, yeah, the Lord knows I need that truck. Amen. So, did I pray about what? The Lord knows I need that truck. Amen. How many of you know where I'm going with this? Amen. Now, let me tell you the rest of the story. I bought that stinking truck. It cost me about 12 grand, I think, 11 or 12 grand when I bought it. I was able to pay it off in a year. You know, a personal loan from them, the family, gave me the truck and let me pay them every month, you know. And money came in, I was able to pay it off in about a year. And about a year later, the engine went. $10,000 for a diesel engine for that. Not long after that, I was in North Carolina, pulling up Black Mountain, North Carolina, with my trailer, and my transmission went. $1,800, I think, for the first replacement. And about 6 or 7 months later, the transmission went again. And I was in Ohio, $8,000 to replace that one. By that time, I got 18, 19, about 20 grand in that truck, along with the 12 I paid for it. The truck is only worth $10,000 now, and I got 30 grand sitting in the stinking thing. Why? I did not consider God in the matter. Because I saw what I... You know, you see, and you want, and you desire. And at that moment, I wasn't desiring what God desired for me. I was desiring what Mike Patterson desired for himself. He'll give you the desires of your heart when you desire what he desires for you. Because your desires will change. Amen? So he says in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. If any man speak, here we go again. If you're going to talk like it's from God. Amen. Share the word from God. Now, I don't know about you, I like talking about baseball. I love the Cleveland, I can't say it, Indians, amen. I just can't say Guardians. Who came with that stupid name anyway, amen. I love the Cleveland Browns, you know, I love Ohio State. And I live in Michigan, and they hate me in Michigan because I'm still an Ohio State fan. But my conversation not to be every day about baseball and football, amen. In soccer or hockey or anything else. And I don't like hockey. I don't like soccer. That's not football. Amen. That's feetball. That's not football. Feetball. So I tell you, I think that whatever we do, we ought to be speaking the oracles of God, if any man minister. Now listen, every one of you are ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Not everybody's a preacher. Not everybody's a pastor. Amen. Amen. Not everybody's an evangelist. Not everybody's a missionary on the field. But we are all ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So whatever you do, whatever you're having, whatever you're doing, make sure it all include he, you include him in all your decisions. And then, lastly, let's believe the promises of God. Believe the promises of God. John chapter 11, verse 39 and verse 40 says this. Jesus said, "Take ye away the stone." Remember Martha? Lazarus is dead. Martha comes in. Jesus comes and meets Martha there. And he tells Martha, he said, Jesus says, "The people there, take away the stone." And Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, "Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days." Can you imagine that? That would smell, wouldn't it, in that climate? Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Let's believe God. Let's believe what he says, amen. That we might see the very glory of God. Romans chapter 10, verse 13, you quote it tonight, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord," what? "Shall be saved." Let's believe the word of God. You lead somebody, Lord, you tell them about Jesus Christ, pastor, and I know you witness a lot of people. You see a lot of people saved over there. Brother Caraway used to come, amen. Boy, people get saved left and right. He had just a knack about him about leading people to Jesus Christ. And where, do you see him in the church? No. But listen, that's up to God. If they praise the Lord that they got saved, amen. "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And I believe a lot of those people that he led the Lord and I've led the Lord and you've led the Lord over the years that don't go to church at all, they're going to be ashamed before Jesus Christ. I believe the tears will be flowing because they recognize what they should have been doing, that they have not done all those years of being in the house of God and being under the preaching of the Word of God and by being in love with God, amen. Matthew 28, verse 20 says this. In fact, let me back up one. Hebrews 13, 5. "Let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as ye have." I should just be content with the first part. Amen. "Be content with such things as ye have, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." That's a promise. He will never, no matter what you're going through, he'll never leave you, never forsake you. Matthew 28, 20. "Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always. I'm with you always, even when unto the end of the world." Amen. Amen, he says. So even unto the end of the world, he's with you always. That means no matter where you're going in life, no matter where you're at, no matter what's happening, if you're in a hospital bed, now listen, if you're in a morgue, you're with him anyway. Amen. But no matter where you're at, no matter what's going on in your life, no matter if you're driving down the road, no matter if you're stuck in a rainstorm, amen, no matter if you can't move, no matter if you're stuck in a snow bank somewhere because you don't know how to drive in the winter, I better shut up because I've been there, amen. I'm just simply saying, my friend, no matter where it is, we have to do something and believe God and trust him because he's still with you no matter what happens. He's with you all the way in the world until even the end of the world. John 10, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30. Some of you have that memorized, don't you? I got most of that memorized. I think I got all memorized, but I can't remember it. I'm not kidding you. I've been quoting that for years, you know. Now I get it started, I'll be all right. He said, "Jesus answered them, I told you, and you believe not. The works I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me." He goes on to say, "But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you." You're not of my sheep. "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them." Boy, that's a promise itself right there. Amen. "I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall" what? "Never perish." Never perish, he says. "Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." Then what's he say about that next one? My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are" what? "One." I've shared this before. I don't know if I did this week yet or not. From one message to the other, so I shared the same illustration in different messages, so I forget, amen. But you're in the hand of the Son and in the hand of the Father. Amen. And Romans chapter 4, the verse 28 preacher, I think, where he says, "Sealed with the Holy Spirit promise until the day of redemption." Grieve not the Spirit, amen, a promise until the day of redemption. He's sealed there. You're in the hand of the Son and in the hand of the Father and sealed there by the Holy Spirit of God. You couldn't get out if you wanted to. There's no way. It's not possible for you to step out of the hand of God. It can't happen. It can't be done. No, he says in John chapter 12 and verse 26, if any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father what? Honor. Let's believe the scripture. If we serve him, he'll honor you. No, I don't do it to be honored by God. He said, if you serve me, I will honor you. If you serve me, I will honor you. I don't know about you, but boy, that's sort of like getting up in front of your class when you're this would never happen to me. I can only get in front of my class to get spanking, amen, whooped with a paddle. But, you know, you get in front of the class and get an award. It's like getting a star on the top of your paper, amen. How many of you ever got stars on your paper? They didn't put stars on our paper when I was a kid, amen. And I don't even know what a star looked like back then. Oh, yeah, it was that big red one with like, oh, F, that was it, man. And me and brother. He talks about the kids that are in his class. Well, we would have had fun there, brother. I'll tell you what. You would have got rid of me in a heartbeat. Oh. In John chapter 14, verse 2, in my Father's house are many mansions. That's a promise. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you into myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. That's a promise of God. Hey, listen, I'm not going to have some cabin by the river, amen. I got a mansion in glory. You know, and the Bible says mansion. I think I'm just going to believe what the Bible says, amen. I'm going to believe what the Word of God says and trust God. And too many people change that, amen. Somebody said, Jesus isn't some kind of a cosmic carpenter in heaven building you a mansion. And Jesus is building me a mansion, amen. He might not be the one doing the carpenter, but he's taking care of all the business. I don't care how it's happening. He's getting a mansion prepared for you and getting a mansion prepared for me, amen. I tell you, I can't wait to see my mansion. You can be my butler, Dave. You can be my servant. No, you're going to have your own mansion, amen. I don't think we're going to have to dust or clean or anything in heaven, amen. Amen, it's going to be clean. What, can you imagine that? Can you imagine, you know, sweeping the floor and not getting dust in your face? You're not going to have to sweep the floor. You don't have to worry about dust getting in your face, man, I tell you. I take off my shirt and I get dandruff all over the place, amen. It flies in the air. And not because I'm bald, it's because my skin's so stinking dried out anymore. It's pathetic, amen. He said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 14, for if ye believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. The dead in Christ shall rise first. That's a promise, amen. If you go before the rapture and you're in the grave, your body's already in heaven. He's bringing your body back with him, and your soul's going to raise. You're going to be with God in glory forever, amen. Complete, finished, changed in the twinkling of an eye. He said, then we which are alive and remain, this will be the rest of us who have not died yet, but if he comes back before we die, and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And then he makes a statement, whatever that verse, wherefore, comfort one another with these words, amen. I've used this verse in funerals, brother. Amen. Wherefore, comfort one another. Funerals who are born-again believers. You know, it's hard to do a funeral when somebody's not saved. Amen. Revelation chapter 2, verse 4 says this. And this is after the great white throne judgment. He says this. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death. No more death. No, and neither sorrow. Amen. Death brings sorrow, does it not? No more death, no more sorrow, nor crying. Death brings sorrow, brings crying. I've seen weeping. I saw my nephew at my mom's funeral. She's 12 days short of her 96th birthday. I watched my nephew. He was close to his grandma. He just bawled and bawled and wept and wept and wept. Neither shall there be any more pain. Whoa. How many of you are looking for that one? I'm not talking about your husband that's a pain to you all the time. He's talking about pain. Amen. Neither shall there be any more pain. For the former things are what? Passed away. Passed away. That's the promises of God for you. Let's believe it. Let's just believe what God says. Amen. Let's trust His Word. Let's trust Him. Let's not put Him off to the side somewhere. And when you're going through a difficult time and a hard time, just start reading the Scriptures. Amen. Start believing what God says. I love the book of Psalms. Man, I tell you, it's good to read Psalms every day. It really is. Amen. Good to start off and read them every day. Read them every day. Read them every day. Read them every day. Read a proverb every day. It's good for you to read a proverb every day. Amen. And you just go through the Word of God. And you're going to find some help there alone that will strengthen you and guide you and lead you as a child of God. Let's have our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Glorifying Christ in our lives. Glorifying Christ in our lives. I don't know where you're at in your Christian life, and I wouldn't even pretend to know, my friend. Let me ask this question. Maybe tonight you'd say, Mike, there's some areas in my life where I see where I need to glorify God. How about right now? You still have your hand. God bless you. Others, God bless you. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Anybody else tonight? Amen. Second question. You know, I ask this one every time. And you probably it's not going to apply to you because I think probably everybody's in here saved, but I wouldn't feel comfortable if I didn't ask this. Have you been born again? Washed in the blood of the Lamb? And if your life ended right now, would you be in heaven? Do you have eternal life? If you do, I say praise the Lord. If not, I'd like to pray for you. Is there anybody at all that would say, would you pray for me like that tonight, Mike? I'm not sure. Not sure I've been saved. I don't see any hands. I hope you're saved. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Heads bowed and eyes closed. And just stand your feet with heads bowed and eyes closed. I'd like to pray for you tonight. And if you raised your hand, can I get you to do this? Would you slip out and come to the altar tonight? Or come to the front pew and sit down, one of the two. Lord spoke to your heart. You just slip out and you come. Just slip out and you come. Just slip out and you come. God bless you. God bless you. If you have to sit down, don't feel bad. You just go ahead and sit down. Father, I thank you, Lord, for these who have listened to your word tonight. And they pray, I pray, Father, you give them strength in their life, whatever the area is, to glorify you. That you would be, Father, be pleased with decisions that they make tonight, to your honor, to your glory. Father, we thank you for Jesus Christ who did so much for us. Lord, there's so many times in my own life when I haven't glorified you the way I ought to. God, help me. Help each one of us, Father, to remember that we need to bring glory to your name as your children, giving you the praise and the thanksgiving for all that you've done, all that you will do, and all that you and all that you're doing right now. Thank you, Father. We give you the praise and thanks in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Heads bowed and eyes closed yet? You can go back to your seat when you're ready.
In our hymnal says, I surrender all. And we can add tonight to his glory. Praise the Lord. 496, let's sing a couple verses. All who Jesus I surrender.